right, you're in the building. Let's see if you're in fellowship and not distracted by whatever. All right. The parable of the sower. The particulars with regard to this parable and the breakdown of it is as follows. Again, the four classifications of soil represent four classes of hearers. Four classes of hearers. Four types of hearers. Jesus is teaching this. And he's illustrating four types of people who are exposed to the plan of God. Divine viewpoint. Not junk. Like junk food. You know, that's what a lot of people substitute for real food is junk food. Okay, it fills your stomach, makes you feel good. But down the road, it betrays you and does not give you the kind of health you need. Of course, in our civilization, there's contaminants everywhere. We just shrugged it all off and down the road we went and thought that if we put this artificial sweetener in our coffee, we'd be healthy. Because they told us we would. They didn't tell us it was carcinogenic. They didn't tell us that, no, you really won't lose weight taking this stuff in. You might as well do real sugar, processed. You know, I've had people say to me, well, God made sugar cane. I said, yeah, he sure did, didn't he? But he didn't make processed sugar cane. There's a difference. When you take something and run it through something, then you can affect and change it until it is not what it's supposed to be. And America is good at that. All right. The first category of hearer of the Word of God. We're talking about people actually exposed to divine viewpoint. Not junk food, divine viewpoint. Whatever the source. In this case, the sower, the farmer, who's out there, or a helper of his, he's out there scattering this seed. It isn't a glamorous job, I don't think. It's just not a glamorous job. He's the communicator of Bible doctrine. It's not a glamorous job. Even those who had a phenomenal stage, so to speak, in which to operate, a Moses, was this glamorous? And all the hell they gave him, the Exodus generation, they should have been so delighted to have him as their leader. And he had all the credentials, crying out loud. He had a staff that he could hit water with and it split. God came off of a mountain with his face so bright you couldn't look at it. And you're not going to listen to him? Now, I don't have any of that going for me. No, I don't. I don't have that, you know, these supernatural stuff going on around me. But you know what? If the content was the same, it wouldn't make any difference. I know you find that hard to believe. Yeah, some people be around just to see the show, to see the phenomena. There are people that came around Jesus just to see the show, so to speak. The people coming there sick and demon-possessed and whatever, and walking away whole. That'll draw people in. If there was such a thing today as that kind of a healing ministry, oh my gosh, they'd be coming from the four corners of everywhere just to get here and get touched and get well again. But you think these people who got well again and all of them that saw it, they all turned around and said, you know, we need to get our act together. This is our Messiah. He's the greatest one that ever lived in a human body, but no comparison. I think we ought to listen to him. Well, he doesn't. He has those in history. who will stand up for the truth, will not shrink back because, oh, if I teach that, I'll lose church members. You cannot function as a credible communicator if you are holding back. There's a time and a place to present every doctrine and get it in front of people. I have to do my homework, if it's a breakthrough, before I can jump up here and teach it. I'm not going to get up here half-cocked. I'm going to get up here and have it ready to go. Sure, we can add things to it. New developments can come along, but the basic foundation is sound, and we can make adjustments. I've had to do that over the years with regard to certain doctrines, but it was adding to it, fleshing it out, if you prefer that. So the first thing is, the first category is that road that runs along the side of the field that they transport stuff in on, and people walk on it and they drag carts over it and stuff. It's hard pan. We know that. And it isn't anywhere. So the seed, the sower isn't responsible to keep all of it right in the good soil. In a general sense, he has a field and he casts it and the wind will blow some of it over here and some of it will wind up on this road. Some of the seed out there, lay it out there on the road, and the birds come and take and eat it up. What is that reference? The sower sows the word. Repeat verse 14, Mark 4. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown, and when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. Now, Satan cannot overrule the volition of people who are otherwise positive if it's just gospel hearing. He can't do that. He can only do that with individuals who are negative at God consciousness and therefore negative at gospel hearing. There are many, many people in the world, and all normal people, we're not dealing with extremes of retardation or things like all normal people, regardless of the culture, primitive or advanced, reach God consciousness or God awareness. Because they look around and they see this creation. And the concept of a creator, supreme being, bringing it into existence is an idea they entertain. But most people are negative at God awareness. We covered that in Romans. It's a psychological thing. And so they automatically reject God. And of course, God knows the hearts of each and every person and everything. That's why a little kid coming up through the ranks, 1-year-old, 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old, whatever, individuals reach God consciousness at different points. God awareness. That's why all these babies that have died in history, I'll call them babies, all infants, all of these that have died outside the womb due to all the things that happen, they are not held accountable. God is fair. He is fair. He does not require something of someone that they're incapable of doing. So when you hear of another infant dies, they get a pass. I know I only have one example in the Bible that I fall back on. The illegitimate child between David and Bathsheba before he married her. That baby died 3 days outside the womb. It was born sick. David fasted and prayed. The baby died anyway. And you know what David said? He can't come to me, but I can go to him. What's that? Well, David did when he reached age 70. I believe that's when he died. So he was reunited with that infant, that newborn. There's a lot of mysteries regarding all this. When a person dies and goes to heaven, even if they're a complete dummy, outside of the fact they're saved, and there's plenty of them going up, they immediately are downloaded with the entire plan of God. They're not up there going, duh, or I don't agree with that. They are downloaded with the plan of God. That's why in the afterlife, when we all get in the afterlife, and it's all the new earth, the new creation, we're all going to be on the same page. We're all going to know the same thing. We're not going to have divisions among us. We're all going to be in complete and total agreement with regard to God and His plan. Those of us who made an effort in time to learn the mind of Christ, we have the mind of Christ. Mind means thinking. The mind of Christ, His thinking, His viewpoint on, pick a topic. And when you pick that topic, you say divine viewpoint. This is the divine viewpoint. As God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Now, the only way we can take up the slack is get on board with some solid divine viewpoint teaching. But if we want to treat it lightly, then you're going to be dealt with lightly when it comes to the final rewards. We're talking God's plan. You can say, how do you know what it is? Well, all I can tell you is, I pray about it. If there's anything I'm missing, get it to me. And He's done that with some big consequences. It says, be careful what you pray for. No, you pray. You pray for wisdom. You pray for enlightenment. Life is short. Last time I checked. I don't care if you live to be... There was an interview with a... I guess if the woman was 100 years old, she's elderly, right? But she was real spry and real bright up here. And I could tell from the interview she was a believer. And she was talking to this fellow, and she said, yeah, she said, in public school, I was in public school. She was born in 1920, so this interview was 2020. She said, I went to public school in Massachusetts. And he said, you know what they taught me in that school? Flat earth. Flat down. They taught me that. Massachusetts public school if she was born in 1920, let's just say she was 10, 20, 30. She says, yeah, they taught it. They made it real clear. Public school. And the woman was real sharp. I mean, here's a 100-year-old woman. She wasn't decrepit at all. She was bam, bam. And then that other junk came in. I thought, well, that was an interesting history lesson. I don't know what other people have to say that. Okay, now, the first thing is there is a world of people out there that have heard the gospel and rejected it. I want to make this clear. If a person's negative at God consciousness, there's no obligation to get them the gospel. But we don't know who they are, so we spread the gospel as Jesus has given us a commandment to go into all the world and communicate the gospel. We witness the gospel. One-on-one, various gifts, functions, missionaries, pastors, whatever. Okay, because we're casting seed out. We don't know what they are. We don't know what they'll do with it. People call up here and I'll say, are you a Christian? It's a straightforward question. Are you a Democrat? Are you a Republican? What are you? No, I don't ask them that. I ask them, are you a Christian? Yeah. Well, my deal is, how did you become one? I mean, I mean, a lot of these people, they just, they say it because they don't want to offend anybody. But if they say, oh, I believed in Jesus Christ, right on. You're right on. When the seed falls on the hard soil of the road and is picked up by birds who carry it off, and he says this relates to when a person is negative at God consciousness and negative, therefore, at gospel hearing. When they hear this message, they don't remain neutral. They go off and get wrapped up in something else, some philosophical system, some ideological system, even Satanism. They buy into. There's a lot of these type of people in the United States, if you haven't noticed. It's more visible and out in the open than it's ever been. Ever been. People who are openly flashing satanic symbols and promoting Satanism. Hollywood's jam-packed with it. And other places. It's just the way it is. They give them permits to do things. Out and out, Satanists or Luciferians. So that has escalated. Because it's a part of the end time scenario when people will polarize towards the truth or towards the Antichrist and his promotion of himself as the true Messiah and as God. He will make that announcement at some point. I don't know exactly when, but he will make that announcement. And he will not be shy about saying that he is serving Lucifer. He'll be right out in the open with it, right in your face, or their face. We won't be here. We're going to be jerked out of here. Boy, things are going to pop. Things are going to pop. It's like, we got your attention now. We drop the rapture of the church and millions of us disappear. Graves are violated where believers are buried. Their remains are gone. A guy on an autopsy table. This could be funny. They're doing surgery on him. He's a believer. He gets his resurrection body right there on that table. Let's say he's getting a heart transplant. I don't know. That's going to... And the people left behind are going to have the evidence. They're going to have overpowering evidence that this wasn't alien abduction. That's stupid. What would aliens want with remains in the dirt? You see... But the dark side had to come out with the existence of alien civilizations in order to keep us fooled. It's all made up. Phenomena that is supernatural, blah, 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 it's demonism. That's one way you can relate it. It's demonism. Or it's the trickery of men. It doesn't matter. If God turns people over, and that's what they want to believe, he'll turn them over to strong delusion. That's what you want. There it is. I'll let it run amok. So, the first category is unbelievers. The word which has been sown in them, they got a clear gospel hearing. The claims and the person and work of Jesus Christ. They heard it. And they went thumbs down. Negative volition. Now, some people don't believe the minute they hear the gospel. Paul didn't. He fought it like crazy. But deep down, he had positive volition. And it finally came to the surface, and did it ever. Excuse me. The second category... we'll deal with here is soil that has a bunch of gravel and other rocky materials in it. This type of soil is not good for the plant and its longevity. It's never going to reach maturity because the sun comes out. And that's a challenge to the plant. And God has made plants in such a way that they can take their root system and draw that moisture up out of the ground and survive a hot spell. Hot, bright, sunny day. That's simple. Simple, simple observation. Okay, so, what is this? Well, let's read verses 18 and 19. Okay. I'm sorry. 16. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom the seed was sown on rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. Yes! That's great! I love that! I've seen that one too. And it's sincere. It's not trying to fake me out. People don't, they tend not to do that. It's more like thanks, but no thanks. And they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then, and this is inevitable, you get saved, you start getting on sound doctrine, and you get this period of time where things are pretty normal, and then you come under attack. Tailor-made to you, for you, not some accidental, out-of-control thing. God knows you're a new believer, a new positive believer, whatever. So he allows you to come under attack. Temporary, and that's the sun. The sun represents the attack, S-U-N. But are only temporary. Then when affliction, that could be a general term for any kind of attack by, I would assume it was from people, or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. Family doesn't like it. So your mother rises up. I got flack from my parents in the beginning when I said I was going to the ministry. I was not raised in a Christian home. It was a very moral establishment, hardworking people. They were. First as a rancher, raising sheep, and then selling helicopter parts for the U.S. Army procurement. My dad. My mother worked as secretary in D.C. until they retired. Had three children. They had good standards, but never took us to church. Ever. So when I grew up, I get saved. I'm 16 years old. I'm a sophomore in high school in St. Louis. I go to a Baptist church, get the gospel, become a believer. And then I'm in college. Then I go to college, St. Louis branch of the Missouri U. And I go there and I want to be a chemical engineer. But I'm saved and I'm interested in the Bible. And I identify with being a communicator. So that just undermines that whole thing. And I came under an attack. I wasn't kicked out of the house. Well, you got a good mind. You're going to waste it. You're going to be in a little old church. Here I am. You're going to be in a little old church where old ladies bring you vegetables. I don't have any problem with you bringing me vegetables. You know, made it look really, really bleak. I remember when they came out here and visited. We had the new house and we had this property fixed up pretty good. We didn't have the nice pitched roof yet. My dad says, "How do you get money out of them? You make them all tithe?" They didn't expect it. They didn't expect our lifestyle. See? But I came under attack. Yeah, you know where you're going to wind up? You're going to wind up in an institution writing scripture on the wall. Really? That's where all people who believe in the Bible end up, huh? They ought to have a name for it. See, but when they realized, no, I'm not backing off of this. This is my destiny before God. And that's before sound doctrine. That's before I got on doctrine. A little bit of it came from the other side of the family, but it was in a different way because they were raised Baptist, and you've gone nuts. But you couldn't sit out and have a reasonable conversation. So I believe that you're a Bible believer? Yeah. Okay, here's what this is. They would just shut down. So I tried that one. So persecutions will come from people. And I don't know what yours were, if any, but you become persecuted. You come under attack. Now, the believer that does not have the appropriate root system, but that's a volitional thing. It's a decision you make every day of your life. It's a decision you make. Nobody is going to get between me and the doctrine I know to be true. Nobody. That means nobody. So when you come on board as a believer, you don't know who might turn against you. It could be your spouse. We got examples in the Bible. The person closest to you in life could be the person. Or your kids. Did you not think when you were here the whole time, oh, they're fine. These parents. So like when we were young and we had young kids and others our age had young kids, did they ever think? Those kids are going to grow up. And they're going to have this stuff out here in the cosmos dangled before them. And they're going to have to make an adult decision to stick with Bible doctrine or go out here and do this. And all this stuff that's out there. Well, first we'll get to that. I got ahead of myself. Excuse me. So those who are unknowing deal with opposition from whatever. Relatives, friends, society at large. Jesus made this very clear. If you want to be loved by everybody, you're in the wrong place. Jesus said the cosmos loves its own. And it's stated in places, the cosmos did not love Jesus. Or they'd have been coming from the four corners of the earth to see this Messiah. The world loves its own. Now, you can get along with people. I'm not saying in any way not to get along with people, to be kind, to be considerate. But if they knew what was in your soul, it's laid out in front of them, they might not be acting so nice. Because they react to it real bad. Pick a doctrine. Pick one out of the catalog of doctrines we've got. Drop the United States and prophecy on them. I don't like that one. Their patriotism, so-called, is going to get in the way. And they're going to react. And yet, we got the evidence. It's an end-time entity, clearly. It's a leading economic power of the world, clearly. How many qualify for that? Nations. And two, and this is the big one for me. Its population. It's based on immigration. Statue of Liberty, anybody? The people that came to America came from the four corners of the earth. We've got everything here, racially. Everything virtually. Do you know another nation that's like that? I don't. Now, Jews came from all the nations that they were dispersed into, but that they're not the leading economic power and blah, 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 and they're in a whole different category. So pretty well, when you do your investigation, if you're betting any money on it, hands down, it's the USA. But they don't want to hear that God's going to take us out in 1 hour or 1 day. 1 hour or 1 day. Now, back when this was given to John, you'd go, how would that happen? It comes from fire out of the sky. An all-out thermonuclear blitz by Russia. That's the whip nation. God uses nations to judge nations. He can judge them indirectly and independently of it. Obviously, he did with Sodom and Gomorrah. But when you see where this country has got itself into, just in a short, it's unbelievable the things that are being promoted as A-OK in public schools around the country. I don't know about here in the state, that your kids would be subjected to. It's stuff that I don't even want to mention from the pulpit. But it's out there. I think I'm a woman. Oh, please. And Bud Light and those, they pulled this stunt by putting stuff on their cans, their beer cans. Well, they're suffering a backlash. Good. There's enough redneck beer drinkers out there that will really say, no, I'll pass. Coors did the same thing. Put the rainbow colors on their little Coors word around the bottom. I heard that. I haven't been to a liquor store to see if they get it. If I ran a liquor store, just take the stuff and get away from here. If you can't give me clean cans, I'm not here to promote your agendas. Americans, so many of them, they got to make a dollar. They got to find a way. They compromise. Our number one sin, believe it or not, is monetary greed. That's it. Oh, there's all this sexual perversion. In the streets, in parades, which you got to get a permit for. I passed the tail end when I'm up there in New York City when we're up there on a Sunday. A guy in the church, a like-minded church, took us out on a because he delivered kids in a bus to these exclusive private schools. So he got the bus and we all got on it. We went downtown Manhattan. On a Sunday when there's not a jillion people running around. And they had a gay parade, went right past us. I don't suggest you ever go view a gay parade, okay, if you know what's good for you. It is disgusting. It is absolutely disgusting. And they let, there's people that are always going to be disgusting, right? But that the leaders and the authorities will sign off on this. The degeneration of the culture and the moral standards and the, well, they call it wokeism. Just turn it on its head and say this is reality. I don't want to be a part of anything like that. That's why I want to get the hell out of here. It's called the rapture. I want out. I made it clear to God, I want out. In the right way, because I want to get my crown. But I want out of here. I am sick of it. And I don't pursue it. I could go to these conservative sites and just have it coming out my ears. I got the idea, okay? I got the idea. Take 10 or 15 years ago and you try to dump this on the American people. You know what they'd do? But now, we don't want to be involved in a hate crime. God hates things. He loves things and he hates things. A normal person would. Do you hate people who are involved in child trafficking? It's rampant in this country and around the world. It is rampant. And child abuse and all the rest. And there was one place that we want to make a law that says it's okay to have consensual relationships with a child. I don't even want to report this kind of stuff. It's unbelievable. Now, if that isn't inviting the wrath of God, I don't know what is. The extreme homosexual trend that was in Sodom and Gomorrah was so violent. You weren't safe. If you were a male, you weren't safe on the streets at night. Read Genesis. And the authorities had to approve of this, or they would have been taking some people out and executing them. So, wrath already is hitting this country. Weather events, other events, it's coming. That's why I got kicked off YouTube. They censor everything. So I don't care. If there's people out there that are positive and want to get, God will get it to them. He'll open a door and a way for individuals to get saved and to find the truth. All right, I'll see you Wednesday. We'll get back to full schedule here soon. I can't tell you what week. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity of getting apart from the cosmos and hearing the divine viewpoint. In Christ's name, amen.